Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I am very pleased to have with us for her monthly visit, Jane Paul from Early On in Crow. Jane, welcome.
It's so good to be back and see you in person again.
It is. This is the second month in a row where you're right here, and I love it. We, of course, speak to you about early childhood education and all those good things that go along with having young ones. I was just telling you about some of the challenges that we're facing, but nonetheless, it's always good when I tell you something and you just sort of nod along, because if you were to have this incredible look of shock on your face, I'd probably start to get worried. But that comforting nod that you have, it means a lot. I got to tell you that.
That's good to know.
Today, you wanted to address parenting with warmth and structure. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is from a program we do called, it's a parenting course. You can actually find it online, Parenting in Everyday Parenting. So it really gives you, for me, it gave me a different way at looking at how to figure out what to do when I'm struggling with kids and with parenting and all of that kind of stuff. It just kind of came at it from a different angle. I mean, we can go through all the, you know, do A, B, and C, check this out. But this one really came from a place that resonated with me. It's really about, like you said, parenting with warmth. And warmth is really just making sure the kids are feeling secure, that they're safe, because that's paramount. They can't do anything else until they're safe and secure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And loved in there. And how to show that with all our actions and our words, and a chance to really sort of look at it through the child's eyes. We should really tape the conversations we have before we come on air, because this is really what we were talking about, trying to look at things through the kids' eyes so that we're thinking about how they're thinking, what they're thinking, and how they're feeling. And that helps us then respond to the situation rather than just react to those behaviors.
Oh, yeah, and it can be overwhelming for everyone who's involved, and you try something that may have worked last time and it doesn't work this time, and you're back to square one. The frustration can really mount.
It does, and it's not just our frustration. I mean, that's looking at it through our eyes again, but it's their frustration too, right? Because how they feel basically dictates what they're going to do. So if we can think about how they're feeling, then it'll help us figure out what we can do to sort of mitigate the situation or to at least move on in there.
You also know, like, sometimes that the child just, you know, wants, I don't know how to put this properly, but wants to be miserable in the moment because they'll ask for things, you'll give them things, and, you know, you'll do what they're saying, but it's never good enough. Right. And it, to me, that just says that they need to let it out. They need to release some way.
Exactly. And we're not any different as adults, right? We need to get those feelings out. And that's where the second part comes in, the structure piece. Structure is about having those clear guidelines for behavior in there, but also making space for the child's thoughts and ideas so that you're making space for talking together. You're making space for problem solving. You're making space for listening to each other. The other part of the structure in there, of course, we have to be a positive role model. And I don't know about you, but when I'm tired and when I haven't slept well because they haven't slept well and we're at our wit's end, it's really hard to be that positive role model.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It takes everything you've got it sometimes.
Well, we were just talking again beforehand about how emotionally draining it is and physically draining when kids aren't doing well and we're constantly having to be in there and constantly monitoring and trying to figure out what to do. It's exhausting for us and it's exhausting for them in there as well.
And it builds up, right? Because, like, yeah, one of the things that you mentioned to me is you said I look tired. And, you know, I know I do, but it's one of those things. I'll be tired, but yet I still need to go and deal with this. So it makes it a little bit more difficult to, and really can kind of shape how you react to things, can't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because how we feel dictates what our actions are as well, right? And so when we can parent with both warmth, which is that caring piece where they know they're loved, they know they're okay, you know, they know the world is going to be all right, and we add that structure into it. I mean, a lot of us think that if we give kids a lot more freedom, that they're a lot happier. But that structure in there, those boundaries that we put in, give kids security as well. They need somebody who's bigger, kinder, you know, and can still firm up those boundaries so that they don't have to worry about them. They need somebody to have their back.
It's that routine, right, that really helps a lot with that, too. It's part of, it goes, you know, part and parcel with structure.
And you nailed it there, because it really is about a whole bunch of different things, and routine is a big part of it. Routine makes life predictable, and when life is predictable, we're more safe and secure. We know what's expected of us. We know, you know, how to act. We know what's going to happen when we act that way. So, again, we're safe and secure in there. And so that's why you need both. You know, you can't just do it with warmth. You can't just do it with love and caring. You need those boundaries and that structure in there to help them. They need the guidance from us when they don't know what to do. They need us to step in. But it's, you know, it's a bit of a catch-22 in there. Because if you think of your child at about sort of 18, and you think about what you want them to be like, what qualities they have, the different parts that make them them, that starts now. So if you want a child who is kind, we need to be working on that now in the early years. If you want somebody who can think for themselves and be assertive, you know, that's great as an adult, but it's a little hard to handle at 2, 3, and 4, mm-hmm. you know, when they want to decide, make decisions for themselves. But this is really where it starts. So you have to pick your battles in there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's interesting to see that creativity and just seeing their mind work when they're playing. You know, like some of the things that he does when he's playing, like you just sit back and you go, that's brilliant. You know, that's it's really imaginative.
When you think that, you know, just a little more than 3 years ago, he hadn't even been touched by human hands, right? Mm-hmm. They've come a long, long way. We have a granddaughter who's just over 1, and she amazes me every time we see her at what she can do and what she knows and how she knows to connect with us, mm-hmm. right? She'll come over and grab my finger and pull me and show me what I'm supposed to do. And she's, you know, she's just barely 14 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And I think that's another part of what this is all about. It's seeing through the children's eyes and seeing how capable they are and allowing space for their thoughts and their ideas, because that's how they make sense of the world. If we're always in there just telling them what to do, then they don't learn to problem solve for themselves. But at the same time, because it's always a balancing act, right? At the same time, we need to step in and provide that support and that structure when they need it, when they can't figure it out themselves. So we need to do that in a way where we're working together and not just always telling them what to do.
So is that where, you know, like you just mentioned, seeing through their eyes, it's not just a matter of realizing how they're feeling, but it's, I guess it would be also how well you know your child to help them respond to it more appropriately, I guess, or to at least guide them in the right direction?
Yeah, so knowing your own child, their temperament, the way they are, their personality, but also knowing what age and stage they're at. Again, we were chatting about, you know, those almost fours that often have challenges at sleep time again. They're knowing that their brain is taking that cognitive leap forward where the imagination comes into play, and all of a sudden they can imagine monsters. They can imagine what can happen when the light goes out, even though it hasn't happened. So it's being aware of where your child is at developmentally. So really young kids don't have a great sense of time. So when we're thinking about how they're thinking, that whole metacognition piece, right? When we're thinking about how they're thinking, we have to remember they don't have a great sense of time. So when we impose a rule or a boundary on them, they think this is forever. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the passage of time and that this is just for now, you know, that you have to hold my hand in the parking lot. But when we get to the park, you can, like, go and play. They're so in the moment that what you're doing now is forever. And so to understand that and to remind them, explain yourself and say, yep, we're in a parking lot. This is where you hold my hand. When we get to the park, that's when you get to go free.
And what ages are you talking about when you talk about the time? Because we've noticed that he's starting to understand a little bit more here and there. But at the same time, you can say to him, okay, we're going to do that later, and he'll get upset. And then you say, okay, we're going to do that today. And then that, you know, he's very happy about that. He doesn't understand the difference.
And that's where, where you know your child. You have a way of talking with them that from the past lets them know, you know, what's going on. So that's a bit of a hard question to answer. Certainly, as they get to be 4 and 5, they begin to not only understand a little bit about time, much more by 6 for sure, but they also have an understanding in there where they can regulate their emotions a little bit better, so that they can do what we have call delayed gratification. So that, you know, a brand new baby, when they're hungry now. When they need their diaper changed, it needs to be changed now. A 2-year-old doesn't have a very long attention span if they're not interested in what they're doing, and they can't wait for something when they ask you. But a 4.5-year-old or a 5-year-old can wait quite a long time. So those two things kind of go together in there to help with that time piece and being able to wait for what needs to happen.
So you can't give me a specific date?
I wish I could. All I can say is, keep getting to know your child, because they are changing. Their developmental areas go ahead at different times. Keep getting to know them. Have the fun times with them. It's in the fun times that we learn how to work together, that we learn how to listen to each other, that we learn how to communicate and trust each other. And warmth and structure is all about that. It's about communication. It's about building that relationship, because it always comes back to the relationship. It's about having that time together to build that relationship and trust and love and be safe and secure.
I imagine that this is a topic that you explore in greater detail with parents and with some of the groups that you take part of?
Sure.
Or take part in, rather, sorry?
Yeah, absolutely. The whole business of having both those sides, that warmth and caring and that guidance, that structure in there, is in all of the different programs we're doing now. We have one coming up. We're just finishing the Bounce Back and Thrive, the resiliency one we talked about last time, and we've got one coming up starting next week on basic how to talk to our kids will listen kind of thing, and it's called You're Not the Boss of Me.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and it's 2 weeks, and we're going to do that one on Zoom, just so that if people don't know about you after the last weekend we've had with all the ice, we couldn't even get out of the house there for a while.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the road was blocked both ways, but just allowing people to stay in their houses and do this from the comfort of their home. We're going to try and do both in-person stuff, because often we get much richer discussions when we're together, just like you and I are here in the studio. But we're also going to keep some on Zoom so that it's more accessible for people that need that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And I think that's one of the things that the pandemic has really gifted us, is the realization that we can do things like this. We can do these Zoom meetings and so on. And for parents who maybe can't get a babysitter or whatever, if both parents would like to take part in something like this after their kids in bed, they can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was a real, it's given us a skill set, right?
Yeah, it has. I agree with you 100%. Okay, and also I think when it comes to a topic like this, parenting with warmth and structure, it's something that can be put into many different topics, like you're talking about that you're not the boss of me. Certainly there are elements of parenting with warmth and structure that need to be applied in order for that communication to be set.
Absolutely, yeah. It's we try and infuse it, even though it's a specific program, we try and infuse parts of that into everything else we do, because it's just so important. It gives us a different mindset. It helps us look at conflict as a problem to be solved together with warmth and structure, rather than conflict where, oh boy, we have conflict, so I have to come in, with an iron fist, and I have to lay down the law, and they have to toe the line. It gives a much better way of doing that, so it doesn't escalate the problem.
Excellent. Well, is there anything that you didn't mention that you wanted to make sure our listeners know before we let you go?
I think the big thing is basically pick your battles in there and stay calm yourself. We need to be calm because when we start to get upset or we get triggered, that moves us towards punishment. And what this is all about is discipline, which is literally the Latin word to teach. So we need to have a teaching part in there. We need to come in with a caring attitude. We need to understand ages and stages, and if you have questions about that, ask any of our staff at playgroups or give the office a call or check us out on Facebook at www.crowlanark.com or on Facebook. I'm Crow Parent Education. Always glad to have parents asking questions about that, because a little bit of knowledge about what stage your child at, number one, like you said at the beginning, relieves some of those fears that you're the only one going through this.
Yeah.
And two, gives you an idea, oh, so that's how they're thinking. So if I come at it this way, that's going to ease things up for them a little bit, and it may get better.
Great advice as always, Jane. We really appreciate these chats. We look forward to the next one. Thank you so much for coming in. We love having you here.
Well, thanks for having us again and again. We're here to support your community. It's your tax dollars at work, and this whole county of ours does really well working together. If we don't have some suggestions or answers, we'll link you up with the people that do.
Awesome. Jane, Paul, thanks again.
Always.
Our guest today on In Focus, Jane Paul from Early On and Crow. We've been talking early childhood education. If you missed any of that or you just want to hear it again, don't worry. It's going to be on our website a little bit later today. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.